And we're going to look, if you would turn with me in the book of Acts. I want you to turn to chapter 27. I was led here. The Lord just led me to this chapter. It's one I frequently go to and look at because I gain such encouragement from it. There's a few things in here I hope tonight with the Lord's help to just help us and to bring us into some of the encouragement and hope and promises that God has for us, especially in the days in which we live in today. They are not exactly wonderful times for us, and I'm not here to dwell upon that as much as I am here to give us hope tonight and to give us peace that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul, if anyone knew of circumstances of trials and hardships and turmoils, he did. And if there's anyone who knew that God was with him, he knew it.
Right.
And he knew how to stand in the midst of it all, in the midst of the worries and troubles of life. And this is toward the time in which Paul is going to be sailing to Rome, and he's going to be coming. He appealed to Caesar for justice and his case that he has been charged with. And he's on his way, and we know, you probably have read in chapter 27, this story where he is on his way to Rome, and upon his journey there, he's going to come into a storm in the sea, and of course, there will be a shipwreck as well that will transpire during this time of his travels. However, during this time, there is some wonderful things that I want you to see that we can glean from here that I think will really encourage us this evening. I'm praying that God will help me do that. I want you to pray with me tonight because I just want to obey God. I just want to give what God wants me to give, and that God would take His Word and just open our hearts and our minds, and that we can glean from the Apostle Paul this evening and what the Lord is doing in his life. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want you to touch us, Lord, tonight, and especially me, God. I need your grace. I need this power of your Spirit, dear Lord. I need your anointing tonight that comes from on high. I'm a mere man, dear God. I know, and I have inabilities, and I'm frail, dear God, and I can only do the things that you empower me, the things that you anoint me, Lord, through your word, through your understanding, through your truth, dear God, that I can relate, dear Lord, and give unto us, O God. I need your anointing, Lord. I need your power. I need the Holy Ghost tonight, God. And I'm praying for a mighty move of your Spirit to open up our hearts. And Lord, that we would give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you deserve, O God, from our lips and our lives, O Lord, that they can be lived as the example as the Apostle Paul lived them. And he showed us, and he became that shining light in the midst of a darkness, dear God, that men can look unto and glean hope from. We thank you tonight. I would just like to read a verse. I'm going to read from chapter 27 a verse, and I'm going to glean from the verse here. Verse 25 of chapter 27. Could we stand for the reading of God's word this evening? The Apostle Paul speaking here. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. May God bless His word. You may be seated this evening. With the Lord's help, I want to talk about what Paul was told, Paul's wonderful message for us. What Paul was told, Paul's wonderful message. Paul's wonderful message for us. Now, Paul is a prisoner. We know this. He is a prisoner in the ship that is on its way to Rome. Nevertheless, he may be a prisoner, but he is a free man. Hallelujah. Free man in what way? He is free in Christ. Yeah. Glory. whom Christ has made free, he is a free man. Hallelujah. And even though he may be in, as it were, a prisoner under the centurion here and on his way to Rome to meet that with Caesar, Paul is a free man in Christ Jesus, living free from fear. Hallelujah. And don't you want to live that way in your life today? Free from fear, free from anxieties, free from these things that upset our lives and a great turmoil that comes in our lives many times. Paul was free from fear in the presence of God. And that's where the key is. This man lived in the presence of God. We can have that freedom. We can live in liberty. We can live in the freedom from fear and terror if we live in the presence of God. Oh, it's my prayer tonight that all of us would live under that freedom that God has for us. While those who sail with him are, and we will look at this, they are literally paralyzed. They're paralyzed and in terror of fear because of the storm that is upon the ship. And because their circumstances and the plight that they are under, it looks like there is no hope at all. Now, it's hard for us to sometimes see that because we don't really, many of us take boat rides and ship rides, and we're not out there in the middle of an ocean, and we're not out there going places like they used to, you know, and we're not tossed with winds and the waves of the ocean and the seas. But I guarantee you, if you ever were, you would know what fear is when a storm comes up upon you and you're in one of these. And these weren't mighty ships that they were in. These, I call them little tub boats, is what they were in. I mean, they held quite a few men. Don't get me wrong. They held over 200 and some people in them. But they were still small compared on an ocean. And a big storm that would come up in those days upon that ocean would put a fear in anybody, especially if it was at the point of sinking. But these men were paralyzed. They're in terror because of the dangers that they faced at this sea. But I want us to go back and look with me just briefly here. I want to mention a few verses before I get to the main points that I want to get to tonight. I have about 5 points I want to share with you. One of which the Holy Ghost will give Paul that of encouragement for the people. He will give Paul a message of hope for the people. Paul will give them a message of promise. Paul will give them a message of deliverance. And Paul will give them a message of faith. Wow. This is a man who is free in Christ. Hallelujah. Though a prisoner on this ship. And yet he will be a man with such fullness of God that he can encourage those who are fearful and for their very lives. And that is exactly how we need to be in this generation that we are under today. We have men and women out here today who are paralyzed and in fear of already the court decisions that have come down in this land. I'm not here to dwell upon those, but I'm here to tell you it has placed many Christians in fear. Knowing, what are we going to do now? How are we going to handle the things of the church now? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to take a look at how the Apostle Paul handles dangers and how he handles fears and how he will give each of these group of men that did not trust him at first, but will come to trust him in the end. And he will give them the things that they have need of. I want you to go with me first of all. If you would, verse 8, chapter 27, verse 8, it says, "And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens." They're on their journey now, and they come to this place called the Fair Havens, whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. This is a Holy Ghost filled man, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he's not a sailor by any means. Come on now. Let's be truthful here. Paul is not a sailor. Paul is a preacher. Amen. Paul is, giving what God wants to the people to know. And he admonishes them. He tells them. He is warning them. He wants them to understand something right now. Already, they have gone through some troubles on their way. The seas have been against them already. They've had to change ships to go where they're trying to get to Rome. Already, the weather isn't that fair for them. It's not helping them in any of the matters. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says the sailing is now dangerous. And he admonishes them and said unto them, sirs, verse 10, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much danger. Woo! Praise God. Not only of the landing of the ship, but also of our lives. Now, I don't know. It's not privy to me here exactly, and I can't prove it to you, but I know Paul is a praying man. I know Paul seeks God's will and God's counsel. Now, either God has told him already of the trouble that lies before him with this voyage, or else he is just discerning of the weather itself and saying, hey, folks, this doesn't look good. One way or the other, how you want to take it. Personally, I take it that God has directed him. I believe that because he is a Holy Ghost-filled man. He knows that he has a purpose in his life. He knows that he has a direction that he must take. He knows that God is leading him on the way. And he also knows he must admonish those who are leading the way. Wow. Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion believed the master of the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken by Paul. When I look at that, I think to myself, of course, he's going to believe the master of the ship, the man who's a sailor, the man who's been on the ocean, the man who knows how to drive his ship, the man who knows how to take care of things. He is the captain of the ship. He knows his ship. He's a sailor. Of course, the centurion, he is not a sailor. He's going to trust in whatever the master of the ship says. After all, Paul, you're just a prisoner. We understand you gave us the word, you admonish us, and you think this journey we're on here to Rome is full of danger. However, the master of the ship thinks we can make it. You know, we need to be discerning, don't we, saints? If this centurion was more discerning of Paul and of the Spirit of God, he would have taken heed to Paul earlier. He should have done that, but he did not. And because of the haven, verse 12, was not commodious in winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Now, here in verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. That is not a light wind. That is not a small breeze. Okay, church? It was called Euroclydon. If I said that right, I probably didn't. But I was looking up in a commentary about this storm. They said it was on the terms of more of like a small hurricane in force. Wow. Who wants to be out on the ocean in that type of force? Nobody. I don't care if you're on a big, one of our big ships out in the ocean today, a carrier. You don't want to be out in hurricane force weather. I mean, they will even find a port if they can to secure themselves. The weather is tremendous amongst them right now. Tempestuous winds rocking them back and forth with hurricane force power. I really believe it. And when the ship was caught, verse 15, and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. In other words, we let her go because they couldn't fight against it. They had to ride with it, whatever it was doing with them, tossing them back and forth, up and down, wherever the wind was driving them. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up they used helps, ungirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. Things started to get worse and worse. It didn't get better and better, okay? They started to having to unload the ship now because of possibility of sinking the ship. And the third day we cast out our hands the tackling of the ship. Now when neither sun nor stars in many days appear. Now that can be frightening in itself. Yeah. You can't guide. You know, they use a lot of the stars to guide them by. You know, the moon and the stars and the sun and all that together. But it is darkness now. They have no way to drive. They have no way to guide themselves. The stars are gone. The days are darkened. The tempest lay on us. And he says, all hope that we should be saved was taken away.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Woo, Lord, help us, Jesus. First point I want to make tonight. I want you to look at verse 23 and 24. The apostle said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Woo, praise God. That what a wonderful thing God is going to do for the apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He had a message. Now he's going to bring a message of encouragement to these men, to these sailors, to those who are in prison, to those of the centurion and to the soldiers that were upon this ship. He had a message of encouragement. He had a message of inspiration for them in a time of no hope. Jesus is our message of inspiration today. Hallelujah. Jesus is our message of hope today, that we can have hope still in the midst of our struggles. Hallelujah. Here the Apostle Paul gave reassurance to the men and to those that God is with him. Hallelujah. And that God is with them. They will not lose any of them. What an encouragement to hear the words come to you. Now, remember, these are men who are afraid. These are men who are in terror. And isn't it interesting when you don't have faith to believe, the opposite of faith is doubt to me. So these men are in doubt of God. They're in doubt of everything. They're loose. They've lost all hope. They've lost all encouragement. They're getting ready. This says they're all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They know that they're going to die. And Paul stands up. Praise God. Like a beacon light. Woo! This is the way the Christian should be. Amen. It doesn't matter what the storm has brought to us. Paul's rocking right along with them. Hallelujah, you know. He's right there in the same boat with them. He's right there fighting the same storm with them. But there's a difference between them and him. He knows in whom he has believed in. He knows his Savior. He knows what God has spoken unto him. He knows that God is leading him and wants him to go to Rome. He stands firm upon the foundation of God. He is able, therefore, to stand like that light that shines out, you know, ooh, like those lighthouses out in the sea that have that light that go out, and that ship sees that light, that flicker of light, and it gives them hope. Hallelujah. Oh, land is close by, you know, praise God. There we can get safety. There we can get a hand, head toward the light. Praise God. Oh, here the Apostle Paul stands in the midst of these men. Glory, hallelujah. He says to these men, we need, you know something, we need to look to the light. And Jesus is the light, church. He is the light. Paul stood there like a light, but let me tell you something. He gave them strength of encouragement. How many of you have been encouraged by someone? Huh? Have you been down and someone has come by and given you a word or just a handshake or a pat on the back or just a mere word or two of encouragement? And how it has uplifted you and how it has strengthened you and how you feel, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I can get through this, you know? Maybe it's not as bad as we think. When all hope is gone, you need encouraged. When doubt is there, you need to replace the doubt with encouragement and hope. hope. Hallelujah. You need to have the reassurance that you can make it, that you can make it. These men thought they were going to die. And I like this. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, you know, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Hallelujah. Yeah. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You see, they had to hear from God. These men had to hear from God. And it took a godly man, Paul, to stand in the midst of trouble and declare unto them, hey, men, let me give you some encouragement. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, woo, whose I am and whom I serve. Woo, I can see him, you know. I can see Paul's eyes looking at him. I can see the men fastening their eyes upon him. What, God stood by you tonight? What did he say? Whoa, saying, fear not. I like that. Jesus said that often, didn't he? He had to say that many times to his disciples. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because fear is among them. And he had to cast out the doubt, the fears among them. Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. He tells them what is going to happen. He's on this ship. Don't worry, man. This ship is going to make it. Why? Because I'm on the ship. And God told me, I'm going to see Caesar. And so we're going to make it. And not only me, God has given me all of you. Hallelujah. You're all going to make it with me. Well, I'll tell you what, it's dark outside. Things don't look too good to me. They don't see no sun coming out of the darkness. They don't see any stars of the sky. They just see the boisterous winds and the sea raging and their little boat just about ready to sink. And yet they are encouraged by Paul. When's the last time you were encouraged? And when's the last time you encouraged somebody who is hurting? Who is sinking? Whose boat's about ready to capsize? You know, when's the last time we reached out and we let the light of Jesus Christ shine through us? Hallelujah. That others may be touched, that others may be encouraged, that others may be, as it were, reassured that they can go on in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, this world will beat us down. This world will pull us down. We need this message of encouragement. Yes. Secondly, he had a message of hope. Hallelujah. If you would look in Acts chapter 27, verse 20. I read this. He says, and neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we may should be saved was taken away from us. Wow. Well, if you don't have hope, what do you got? Well, what you've got is dashed hopes. There's no hope at all, you know. It's you're in desperation. You're at your wit's end. Everything is useless now. Everything is vain that we're trying to do. I have no hope anymore. Right. I'm at my very end. I'm at the point of despair. That's the opposite of hope. Yeah. This is where these men were. That's what they said. We cannot even be saved. We're going to all die out here in the ocean. But Paul had a message of hope when he said in verse 22 and 23, listen, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Verse 22, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. Hallelujah. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Praise God. First of all, he says, be of good cheer. Woo! Can you imagine now? You know, think of it, church. These men are in darkness. goodness. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. They're in despair. Everything is hopeless in their sight, you know. How in the world can these men take courage and hope in this time and need? It took the man of God to say, listen, I have a message of hope for you. Praise God. I have a message that you can take confidence in tonight. Hallelujah. I have a message. You see, he had to build their trust back up. Hallelujah. They had no more trust in each other or in the ship or anyone. But Paul says, I want you to have hope again. I want you to have the desire again to live. I want you to have the expectation that you are going to make it again. I want you to know that you have the security because God is with you. Shoo! Glory, hallelujah. I sometimes wonder about Christians many times. It seems as though they have no hope. They go on and this and that, crying and whining, you know. Come on. Where is your expectation tonight? Where is your hope tonight? Where do you put your trust tonight? Where is your confidence placed? I sometimes wonder, our desire, where is it? Our desire should be in God, in the things of God. Set your heart above God, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections above, not on the earth. Many Christians are setting their affections down here. Forget that. You better put your affections above. Hallelujah. You better get your trust and hope in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. Be of good cheer. Have hope again. Be encouraged, men. Hey, I exhort you. Glory. I like what he says. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Yeah. Woo. I'm urging you. Be of good cheer. Oh, how can I say it better? It's almost like I want to shake you. Wake up. Be of good cheer. Yeah. Wake out of your despondency. God is with us. Yeah. Woo. Church, we need to wake up now. Hallelujah. God is our encouragement today. God is our hope today. There will be, he promised the men, there will be no loss of anyone. Praise God. Now I'm telling you what, you've got to be full of God to make a promise like that. Come on, are you with me? You have got to be full of God. Or else you are the biggest hypocrite in the world. Come on. Because you just made a promise to these men.
Right.
And you told them your God is with you. Yeah. And that your God is going to save you and take you to Rome. And he's going to save the men that are with you.
Right.
But I'm looking out around me. But there's something about the apostle that drives these men to believe. Come on now, church. There's something about this apostle that gets their attention. I don't know, you know. Oh, sometimes I think his face must have been lit with the presence of God.
Yeah.
And don't look at me like I'm crazy, y'all. Let me tell you something. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and God came in my life, and I remember being in the office there at work, and looking out a window and seeing a little bird in a tree. How silly, huh? I thought, oh, isn't that precious? Look at God's creation.
Right.
You say, Brother Carl, you're about the silliest person I can think of right now. What in the world are you talking about this for? Well, when I looked at that bird and I saw God's creation, God just came upon me like nothing I have ever felt in my life. Yeah. And in the office with my boss, two bosses, I began to speak in tongues and filled. And it just came overflowing in me like a well of living water. And I sat there at my desk and I didn't know what to do. And I said, oh God, what are you doing? I had to put my hand over my mouth. I could not stop speaking in tongues. I said, well, excuse me. I tried to get up and say a few words. I had to walk out speaking in tongues. My boss and them are looking at me like, this man is nuts. I'm walking down the hall speaking in tongues. Praising God. Feeling like I'm on a cloud. Hallelujah.
Right.
Whoa.
Right, brother.
Ugh, excuse me. I'm spitting too. I'm telling you, church, hear me.
Yeah.
There was a girl that worked in our office. She come down the hall toward me. I'm going down toward her. She stopped with her mouth open. She says, "You got the Holy Ghost." I said, "Yeah, I know." She goes, "No, you don't know. I can see him all over you." I said, "What are you talking about? Your face is glowing."
Right. Wow. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy.
Go ahead.
Come on, church.
Right,
I'm almost of the impression that something had to shine out at the night.
Right.
Something had to shine out in the darkness.
Right.
Something had to pierce these men's hearts and these men's lives. Something had to come across to them with encouragement and hope for them. Something had to pursue these men that they can be secure in Jesus Christ. Something had to persuade them and to bring trust to their heart again. I believe with all my heart that this apostle was shining bright. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. It doesn't say that here in Scripture, but praise God, Moses didn't know his face was shining either.
That's right. Amen.
Until they told him. You know what? Oh, well, I better put something on. You know, he didn't want them to see the glory was fading away. But I'm telling you, church, we must have hope. I exhort you. I'm urging you on. I want you men. There'll be no loss of anyone. You know something? We've got to have faith.
Right.
We've got to have faith. Turn over to Romans with me just a second. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm not boring you, I hope. Romans, please, chapter 4. I'm not done. I want you to look at this. Talking about Abraham. Woo, glory. Looking at Abraham, salvation was by faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise. I'm in chapter 4, verse 16 of Romans. That the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now listen, who against hope? Come on now. Do you hear that? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, God help us. God help us not to be weak in faith. God help us to stand in this generation. God help us to stand upon the rock and the solid, firm foundation that is Christ Jesus. God help us to have the faith to believe that Jesus will do what he said he'll do.
Right.
He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Ha, that don't matter to me, Abraham says. Woo! Ha, that's my God, and my God gave me a promise, and by God is going to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he had promised. He was able also to perform it. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness.
Right.
Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered out for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Right.
Who against hope? God believed in hope.
Yeah.
I want you to know something. Paul came to them with a message. I be of good courage.
Yeah.
I want to exhort you. I want to urge you. I want you all to get away from your vainness, from your despair. I want you to get away from your dashed hopes right now, thinking that you are going to be lost, thinking that you're going to drown, thinking that you're going to die. Be of good cheer. I'm exhorting you. I'm urging you right now. I want you to have trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. There will be no loss of anyone on this ship. Hallelujah. Believe. Something came forth from that apostle that stirred the heart of the men on that ship. It stirred them, church. It stirred them. You say, oh, I don't know about that, brother. Go down with me, if you would, to verse 36 of chapter 27. Paul gives an example. Paul is that example to them. He says, they were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat, because he told them, fellas, you haven't eaten for over 14 days. You need to get your strength so that you can swim to shore. Amen. When the time comes. So it's time for us to go ahead and break bread. And you need to eat in the midst of this storm that's still raging. These men, they were all of good cheer. Hallelujah. Because they had a man that was full of God and full of the Spirit of God, who gave example to them and stood in that encouragement and hope and promise and deliverance and faith of God. Whoa! Hallelujah. Wow. Whoa. Who said that? Glory. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, church, we have a great God today. Amen. I don't know where your storm is. I don't know what's coming down upon us in the future. I don't really care. You hear me tonight. It doesn't matter what comes against God's church. God's church will prevail. God's church will stand. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't care what the laws of the Supreme Court make today in our land. I don't care what men who were not elected by us, but were appointed by others, make laws in this land that is not even their jurisdiction to do, and they go ahead and take it. It does not matter to me. My God sets above them. Hallelujah. My God rules over them. I will serve him and serve him only. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to have a ready made up mind, church, because I'm telling you, the storms of life are coming our way. Amen. There's coming a showdown, I believe with all my heart, between the church and the ungodliness of homosexuality and the things of this world that the devil is onslaughting the church with. There's coming a showdown, and it's already coming to us. You might as well buckle up. You might as well get ready for it. You might as well make sure you get your life full of encouragement and hope. Amen. And the promises of God. He had a message of promise. He had a message of promise for them. Look at verse 24, the first part. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Woo, come on now. The first part of 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, amen, that it shall be even as it was told me. Verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Wow. He gave a message, a promise to these men. And what is promising? Promising is to give assurance of something. It's to give a guarantee of something. When you promise someone something, you're guaranteeing it to them. You're giving them that assurance. You're giving them your sacred word. It's your promise. God promised Paul. If God says it, hallelujah, you can bank on it. Praise God. You know, we've got to get to the point where we know our word. We know what thus saith the Lord, and we bank upon the very word of God. We don't turn to the left. We don't turn to the right. We go straight forward with God. What God says, we believe. We obey, and we walk in the truth. We don't veer from it. We don't turn from it. We are like a beacon of light, because the promises of God are always sure. Hallelujah. Paul knew this. I believe that. Paul knew this, church. If you go back to chapter 23, you'll find out. Go back with me to 23. Chapter 23. Chapter 23. This is when Paul was given his defense before the Sanhedrin and those. He says in verse 11, look at this. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. Who stood by him? Who stood by him? Who stands by you? Who stands by you, church? The Lord. That's a promise. Listen to this. And said, be of good cheer. You see, Paul was a little bit with anxiety of himself there. He didn't know what was really going to happen to him here. You know, he had to be cheered up. He had to hear from God. Hallelujah. Paul, at this time, it appears to him, God appears to him at a crucial time in his life to encourage him. And his heart needed encouragement. Woo, does our hearts not need encouragement today? He assures him he will witness for his cause in Rome. Notice this. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Hallelujah. So Jesus told Paul what was going to happen. So Paul knew he is here a prisoner on ship. He still took encouragement. He still took hope. He still took God's promise at his word, because God's word is guaranteed. Hallelujah. You know, when we begin to stand upon the word of God, there shall nothing be able to topple us, church. Nothing be able to take our feet out from under us, as it were, because we stand upon the firm foundation whose builder and maker is God. We cannot be set aside. God is sure in his promises. Hallelujah. And I am so worried so many times that we as Christians don't really believe all the promises of God. Do we believe them? Do we hold to them? Do we secure them? Because do we realize that God's promises to us is a guarantee? It's not something that, well, he might. Or we hope that he might keep his word. No, he will keep his pledge and his promise to us. God is not a God who will lie. He is truth. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. He had a message of deliverance for them as well. Verse 24. God hath given them all them. He hath given thee all them that sail with thee. They escaped, and we will find this in verse 44 at the end of the chapter, the latter portion of that, that they escaped all safe to land. Not one of them was lost. God's promise was sure and steadfast. Yes, the ship became shipwrecked. Yes, they had to swim to the shore. Yes, they had to do these things to save their lives, as it were. But God preserved every man on that ship. Because they stayed in obedience to the command of Paul. Some of them tried, well, maybe I'll let down the little ships, you know, the little boats beside us. Maybe we can fight these waves to get away to the land. You know, they were letting down the little boats beside them to get in. Paul says, that ain't going to do. He told the centurion, unless they all stay, they will not be saved. You know what the centurion did? Cut the ropes. Hello.
Right.
Some of us need our ropes cut. Some of us are letting down the little boat, hoping we can get out of this trouble.
Come on.
Right. Some of us are letting down the little boat, say, hey, let me get my leg in there. Let me get over here in this little thing. Yeah. You know, I'm getting away from this big boat. It's going down.
Right.
But I might make it in this little boat. You better stay in the ship.
Yes.
You better stay in the promises of God.
Right.
You better stay where God has put you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Y'all still with me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You see, this message of deliverance is a message of liberation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right, bro.
They're going to be set free. They're going to have their lives saved. It's a message of salvation to them.
Right.
Who had no hope, now they have hope.
Yes.
Because of the Apostle Paul. He gives them a message of deliverance to them. They escaped, all of them, safe to the shore.
Right.
All because they obeyed Paul. Hallelujah. He also gave them a message of faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
How many know that? Raise your hand.
Boy.
Of course. We know that.
Right.
We quote it. We say it all the time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And how many times we go around in doubt?
Come on. Come on.
Well, I don't know if God's going to help me with my rent this month. I don't know if I can get my groceries paid this month and pay this bill and that bill and this bill and that bill. Well, I don't know if I can take care of things. Things are just too hard on me. I better keep my tithe back this week.
Yeah.
Come on. But we say, oh, yeah, we're people of faith. Come on now. Y'all love me, don't you? And yet we exhibit doubt so much and so many times in the little things. Well, you know, I know God is God, and I know God can do whatever He wants, but, you know, God just can't help me with this anger. I don't think God can help me with my eyes. You know, my eyes begin to wander, and they begin to look upon women. Uh-oh. I don't think God can help me with my eye problem. You know, He's just not strong enough to do that. I just can't help myself. Come on now. Where's your faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet we walk around claiming to have faith, and yet we walk around deceiving ourselves and telling God that, God, I don't have the faith to believe in You, and therefore I just can't keep this faith. And I'm telling you, you're telling God that all that You have done for me has been inadequate. All that You have done for me going to Calvary has been inadequate for me. All the blood that You have shed for me has been inadequate. It just won't take away all sin from me. I'm here to tell you, every drop of blood has washed away your sins. God wants faith. God looks for faith. In Acts chapter 27, verse 25, He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Get faith, men. God is with us. Be of good cheer. See, lift your head up. Put your shoulders back. Praise God. We are going to be saved. God is going to be with us. Church, I want you to know, whatever we're going through this hour and this day, be of good courage. Be of good cheer. God is with you. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose it now. Don't give in now to the ways of the devil. Don't give in and say that God is not able to do what He has promised you to do. Keep your faith. Don't believe the devil when he says that there is no deliverance for you today. There is no way the promise of God will come to you today. There is no way that He will keep His commitment and encourage you today. He is a liar.
Right.
For my God is well able.
That's right.
to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I ask or think. Woo! Can I tell you, and I'll be honest with you, we don't need much faith without storms. Did y'all catch that? You don't need much faith without storms.
Come on.
But when these storms come, they're going to test your faith. They're going to test your faith. And you're going to be shown for what you really are. For when the trials come, the testings come, the tempest runs, blows all around us. Come on, church.
Yes.
When things are struggling in our lives, when things are not like we want them to be, when our own family's against us, come on. When our wife or our husband's against us in a certain area, come on. When things just don't seem to go like we like them to go, and we think, oh my, you know, if I could just get out of this circumstance, if I could just get out of this situation, if I could just get away from my spouse for a while, if I could just get away from my job for a while, you better think again, church, and you better start thinking correctly. Amen. For God has joined you and your wife together. Hallelujah. And you two have become one flesh. God has told the man, you better be right with your wife, because if you're not, your prayers are hindered. Woo, God. God help us. God help us, church. Amen. I don't know why I'm going in this vein right here, but God must have a reason why. Amen. We have got to be men of faith and women of faith. We have got to trust God in the difficult hour, in the difficult times. We have got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing in whom we have believed, and that he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. God is going to judge us, and we are going to judgment. You know something? I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to be able to stand in a day of turmoil, which is coming upon this land and is already here. Its ugly head is already coming down. Come on. Because faith is no more than a believing. Faith is loyalty. Faith is trust. Faith is having confidence. I don't want my confidence shaken because laws come down, or because someone, you know, says this and that and want me to believe this or that. No, sir. I know my God. I know in whom I have trusted. I know in whom I have put my faith. My confidence is in no other. He alone is my God. He is mine, as the Apostle Paul says. He stood with me. I am his and I serve him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus. Yeah. You see, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not an eloquent speaker. But we are going to have to fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
And lay hold of eternal life.
Yes.
When I read this chapter, and I know I haven't even gotten into a whole bunch of it. There's so much in that. But I just wanted to help us tonight to see that we do have a God that wants us to live a life of faith in him. He wants us to know and gives us a message through the Apostle Paul of deliverance in our circumstances. He will, church.
Yes.
That he has given you a message tonight of promise. God has not forsaken you. God's word is always a sacred word and a sure word unto you. He wants you to be encouraged when you are down. Hallelujah. Well, the last time you were down and in your darkest hour, did you go to God in prayer? You know, it's amazing to me. Here the Apostle Paul, in the midst of all this, it says in verse 21, but after a long absence, after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Where was he? Paul has been praying. Paul's been seeking God. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all of it, where's Paul? His absence, he's nowhere around. He's seeking God.
Yeah.
My, in your storm, do you run to God? Do you seek Him? Do you follow for Him? Do you hunger for Him? Do you want to be in His presence? Hallelujah. Do you want to experience His deliverance? I like this. You know, He does come back. Someone says a little sarcasm. I don't know about all that. Paul's just stating a fact. You know, he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. I told you. I already told y'all you were in much danger of losing ship and people. Come on. And he comes out to them and says, but I exhort you. Glory to God. I want you to be of encouragement. God is going to deliver you. God is going to give you a promise today. God is going to give you hope that you can be steadfast. Amen. You don't have to be in despair, church. You don't have to be someone that you feel useless in church. Come on now. I'm telling you, the devil wants you to feel useless. He wants you to feel as though there's no hope for you, and that all hope is gone from you. It is dispersed out of your life. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. God is with you. God is with us, church. He gives us that message of hope today. He gives us the message of encouragement, of inspiration. We need that, church. We need that inspiration of God. We need, He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to be encouraged by God. I want each and every day of my life to be an encouragement by Him. Don't you? Amen.
Right.
Well, I want to close with this. In this life, only the sincere and faithful. Now, please hear me. Only those who are sincere and faithful. Paul was sincere. We see that in this story. He is faithful to God. He is serving God. He is a believer. He trusts. He hopes. He believes, church.
Right.
Only the sincere and faithful believer, experiencing the nearness of God. Ooh, Jesus. We have got to be people who experience God's nearness. I can't come to church and not know and feel God.
Come on.
If you do, you're not sincere.
Come on, go ahead.
If you just come to church and you just sit here and you don't get anything out of the service, you don't get anything out of the Word of God, it's just another day, just here and there, I'm gone, I'll see you next Wednesday, see you next Sunday, I'm not changed, you are not sincere.
Come on, go ahead.
It's those that have that nearness to God that can face life's danger. You're not going to face them unless you're close to God. I don't think y'all understanding what I'm saying. Unless your life isn't near and close to God, when dangers come, you won't be able to face it. Did you understand that? Am I making myself clear? We've got to be near Him. He's got to be ever before us. And at my right hand, when the trials of life come my way, and fears come my way, and turmoil comes my way, and disturbances come my way, be before me, God, and ever at my right hand. Be near to me in my hour, God, hallelujah. It's those who are faithful believers, hallelujah, and experiencing God's nearness, that God will encourage them and God will save their lives and keep them from the dangers that are around them. Stand with me. Shoo!
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Awful quiet.
Go ahead, bro.
I love y'all.
Yeah.
I love you a lot. Man, I even spit on you. Come on. You don't get that from everybody. Who said that's true? Woo! Glory to God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Ain't much can embarrass me anymore. I fell off this pew, this pulpit, this, you know, boom, fall on the ground. You weren't here, Brother Emery. I fell off this thing. I fell off it, man. Come on back here. Wham! Hit the pew. And these kind folks were so nice to me. They weren't laughing. You know, oh, Brother God. And I know they wanted to laugh. I know they did. I let them laugh at me. It's all right. I was as clumsy as I could be. I love you, church. I love you. And I want us to understand that we've got to have a nearness with God. That nothing can tear us away from Him. That nothing can pull us away from Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, we have got an enemy against our soul that is coming like a raging, roaring fire that is consuming the land across this land right now. And it's going to come strong against those who are fundamental in their beliefs, in the standing against one man and one woman today. The purging is coming. The separation is coming. The hour of demarcation is coming.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make a stand. We're going to have to go against the tide. We're going to have to go and be full of the wonder of God's mercy and God's grace. We've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost right in our lives. Right. That's why Brother Woods and I and others want you so filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Because the time is coming. We are coming down, church, to the fight. And it's going to come to us.
Yeah.
We're not going to be exempt from it.
No.
Are you kidding? You see what we put on our sign? Come on!
Right.
Did you read our last sign Brother Woods put up? You don't think we're going to be targeted? Oh, yeah. We're going to have, this may be a prediction, If it's a true prediction, it'll come to true. If it's not, just let it go. Then. Right? But I'll guarantee you, you hear me. We're going to have a homosexual couple or a lesbian couple come into our church and want us to marry them. You better look for it. And when that happens, this pastor, and I know Brother Woods, we ain't going to stand for it.
No.
And you know what they're going to do to us? They're going to take us to court.
Oh.
They're going to try to shut us down to get their way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just with our church. It's going to be with all Christian churches that stand for the very fundamental righteousness and Word of God. It's coming. It's coming. But I leave you tonight, not with despair, but with encouragement. Woo! Come on. God is with us. Brother Andrew, He is with us. Be encouraged. Praise God. You don't have to be fearful. Amen. God is your God, and you can stand in His Word. And He will stand with you.
Right.
He will lift you up and He will protect you. He will give you the deliverance that you are looking for. Amen.
Yes.
I believe it with all my heart. Hey, if it takes me and Brother Woods going to jail, praise God.
Yeah.
I'll go to jail. Y'all have to take care of my wife. She may be in jail too. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Maybe some of you might be in jail along with us. If you stand with me and Brother Woods, you may be. But listen, you take encouragement tonight. I know sometimes I make a little joke of things. I don't mean to, really. But we do have hope. Right. We have encouragement through Jesus Christ. We have the promises that are in this word that are always yes. God's word is a sacred word to us. He does not lie. His pledge is always true for us. He gives us deliverance. He gives us deliverance. He is our rescue in the time of trouble. He is our high tower, church. He is our salvation. There is no other salvation that we can have except through Jesus Christ. And God gives us a message of faith. Hold on to it. Be like the Apostle Paul here. Be that beacon of light that can encourage, strengthen, and help those who are in need. That's what I want to be. In this world that I live in today, people's got to hear that, listen, you can still have faith to believe. You can be delivered from sin. You can have the promise of eternal life. You can have the hope of all glory. And you can be encouraged in a world that is turned upside down. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, God. Your word is good and your word is true. I know, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. But you are going to be with us, God, and you're going to be my encouragement in the hard times. Hallelujah. I'm going to look to you, the light of salvation, the light of this world. And I want that light to shine. I want it to shine through me, Lord. I want it to see others see the glory of God. Hallelujah. I want them to see, Lord, that they don't have to be dashed in their hopes in this world, Lord. That they don't have to be considered useless or vain in their walk with you, God. Or their desperation and their hopes being vanished, dashed to pieces. But I want them to see that they can have hope and be of good cheer because you are with them, Lord. And you exhort us, God, and you are with us, that we will not be lost. Hallelujah. Your promises are always sure to us, God. You are our full assurance today. We have our hope in you. We have our guaranteed deposit of the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah in us. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you tonight, God, for your mighty deliverance, how you have brought us out of sin, out of darkness. Oh, and brought us into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. And that you have given us faith. Faith to believe, faith to hope, faith that will secure us in our fight against the wickedness of this world, oh God. Lord, deliver us and keep us in your most holy faith, God. Keep us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in all assurity. Help us to walk in all peace, God. Help us to love as you have loved us, Lord. Let our light so shine before men, God, that they may glorify you. Hallelujah. The works that we do, Lord, may they be the works that will glorify your name. Hallelujah. We honor you this night. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us, Lord. Go with us to our homes. Watch over us. Lord, let us look unto you throughout this week and have a renewed message in our hearts. As Paul was told, we have been told. You are our encouragement. You are our hope. You are our promise. You are our deliverance. You are our faith. We love you tonight. Strengthen us, God, and may we do all that would please you. In Jesus' name, amen.